Well, we come to this part of Luke 16. We heard last time about the marriage. I hope you have enjoyed it, and not only enjoyed it, but also acted upon it, applying it to our hearts. Today, we want to go to the parts where the parable is about Lazarus and rich man. And I was talking to the young adults in our meeting on Thursday night, and I asked them about compare and contrast in high school, how to write essays. And so there are types of essays. So you have discussed or agree and disagree, and also you have compare and contrast. And particularly this type of writing, compares and contrast. You compare similarities and differences between a few things, or two or more, and when you do that, compare and you contrast, what you do, that type of essay would reveal what separate and unite related things or concept. And it is always about subjects that are often confused for each other, or unrightly taken together, and I think this really sum up what is happening here in this parable, because people may confuse these two things: following God and serving God, or serving mammon or money. These two things cannot go together. So Jesus tells these parables to warn us, really, having said previously in this chapter, that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. If I can just go briefly to share it with us in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this parable reveals to us really what is going on here, how it looks like. Someone who has no regard for God, and not necessarily with Lazarus, that is someone who is fearing God either. But actually, these two people will, especially the emphasis on the rich man, because you will see the rest of the parable will be heavily devoted to the conversation between Lazarus, between the rich man and Abraham. So Jesus had in his mind this rich man. I will say a few things later on about the poor man. But let us see that Jesus tell this story really to tell us that let us not be deceived as his people. Let us not be deceived as his people. As I mentioned a week before, before last week, that the way we live determines where we are going. The way we lived our life, even in relation to how we have used this money, this wealth from this world, determines actually who do we serve. So here Jesus illustrates this clearly in these parables before us. And so the parables begins with the fact that the outward appearances of things really can be deceptive, even they are temporary, they are for this world, but they are deceptive because of what we will see. So let us see what happens here from verses 19 to 21. We see there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. A man very rich. He was very wealthy. And clothed with purple. And purple, those times was and fine linens. They were kind of garments which were only worn by royalty, by very rich people. Because today, if you want to think about buying a purple cloth, you can think of just going to just a shop and perhaps buy it. But this is our thinking in our days. But during those times, really, it will take great effort, even like to make these colors, to make cloth of this color. For those who have done chemistry, I did dyes chemistry. So you mix a lot of products, chemicals, compounds to get to the color that you need. Well, those times they didn't get the advanced technology to make these colors. So what happened was like there was a type of a snail that they used to catch and distract some solutions there, and they treat them in certain ways to produce a purple color. And that was expensive to get to that, because you need thousands and thousands of snails, and they were very expensive because they were going to get out of these ones dyes that will be very expensive, that will be only afforded by very rich people. And so this man, to show his wealth, so he wore only this expensive cloth, and the linen also is a very expensive parts, they used to make underclothes garments from this linen. And ironically, this man, he did not only wear expensive clothes, even like the small parts of his clothes are very expensive to show his wealth and his independence. And his this is his glory. This is how he lives. And Jesus is telling us that a person with such lifestyle and thinking will have little really appreciation to God and his and the people around him. We will see that in a moment. So this man, he was living luxuriously. I don't know how many of you who watch MasterChef. MasterChef, they cook really amazing foods, and sometimes we watch it. When you see it, you don't want to go and see other things. So sometimes it's a safe place, because what you are seeing only is food, no bad clothes there, and promotion of other things. But it's still why it was looking so amazingly attractive. Even though you don't feel like, oh, you want to eat everything, but even you are amazed the type of food that could be cooked. You see, from smoked salmon to cooked turkey in like 10 degrees of temperature. So these people, they just use different ways to cook food, even the way they make salad. So this man, obviously, he was just like furnishing his table with all kind of foods and expensive food. And when really other people are just even starving, because in a moment we are told in verse 20, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, rich man, eating, wearing expensive clothes and eating expensive food and choice food. And yet, on the other hand, because it's a compare and contrast, on the other hand, at his gate, and his gate, actually this gate is not just like an ordinary gate. This is a gate of a palace. So at this gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus. So this man, even he was so sick, even he wouldn't walk to the gate, he would have other people to carry him to the gate, because actually the word is in passive. It's passive in the original. I don't know whether your translations are revealing that to you. So at his gate was laid. Yes, it's passive. So he was laid. He was laid. So this man, he was so poor. He was so sick. And he was just laid at the gate of this man's house. And then in addition, that is moreover, not only that he was just like being carried by others and sick, unable even to walk. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So when he was longing so to have some food and to have his situation a little bit reversed, these dogs came even made his situation worse. So the dogs came and they licked his sores. Other people were saying different things, but I believe this man he was hoping for comfort. Actually, he was even getting more troubles at the gate of this rich man. When the rich man was getting more happier and comfortable, so this man. So this is what we see. So if we move to verses 22 to 26, we will see also that things will change. Things always changes. Definitely, if things go on like this, there will come a time when there will be an end to all these things. There will be an end to a life of comfort here in this world, and also there will be an end to the life of difficulty here on this earth. So life will end. So definitely there will be a verdict. There will be a judgment from God in the life to come. So this is what we are going to see now from verse 22. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. So this man died. The rich man also died. So what is the common things here? That they both died. You see, so, and ironically, when we look at the verses so carefully, we see that the poor man was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. So let us just imagine if he had to have a funeral. So it will be very difficult for him, because I know even the Southern Sudanese community, many people would not have even expenses to bury their loved one. So they rely on the help of other people to bury them. But even this man, he was not. We are told even he was not buried. Other people suggested that his funeral was far, far better than the rich man's funeral, because the rich man died and was buried. There was not a mention of even to be carried. You see, this man was carried by angels, and yet the rich man was buried. You see, was buried, and in Hades, being in torment. So this man, in Hades, being in torments, and yet this man being in the bosom of Abraham. So other translation said Abraham's side, isn't it? Well, look, the words, the original word was this man. He was in the place between the two arms of Abraham. So literally, he was on his bosom. You see, he was being carried. You see, by Abraham. So close to Abraham. So to receive all the comfort, the Bible says that the rich man who died was buried and was in torment, Lazarus was carried to the bosom of Abraham. So the conditions now are reversed. This man was living in comfort. And remember I said, what we see today, the life of comfort, is deceptive, and really does not speak of the future. You see, so does not speak of our status before God. Remember, I said, if you use this wealth wisely, so you will be blessed as a God fearing person. But as a Christians, you need to know that it doesn't matter really whether you are rich or poor, because here we see both died, and actually both also can go to hell. Poor people go to hell. poor sinners go to hell. And I think, I suspect that the poor man here, in the views of the Pharisees, he was like a man trodden by sin. He was a sinner crushed so much by his sins and his choices in life. And yet he died. So let us be clear about this. So it's not only poor people go to heaven, but actually, when Jesus said it is he said it is difficult for a rich man to go to heaven, he didn't say it is impossible for him to go, but he said it's difficult because from what he's telling us here, that the rich people, sometimes they think their security is in their wealth, and they will not have regards for the poor. Secondly, if I can say briefly also, this man, you see what the damage the money can do to him. Such a lifestyle is so disastrous, because here he has no compassion. This is what wealth does. So you are not really humble. So how can you wear very expensive clothes every day? You afford them, and also feast it when other people around you are hungry. And so if your heart cannot move, that means really you are out of touch with God. And there's no compassion. And so let us be careful as God's people, we are not legalistic in terms of trying, oh yes, we are righteous and we are to be separated from the weak and the sinners. But I think we have examples. Even people from our church here going to places, even some of us would not go. I'm not talking about myself, because some may think I'm promoting myself. Far from it. We had dear women from our church, they went to brothels. So not everybody in the Christendom would be comfortable to go to those places. But others are prepared. Some also who are very rich have shared their money so graciously, because they judge that their security does not lie with their money. And also because their hearts have been changed. They were given hearts of flesh, not heart of stone. And they knew that what Christ has offered for them on the cross of Calvary surpasses the wealth of this world. And actually, to be hungry and to fast and to pray is the ways of godliness. Because the conditions will change. We will encounter God's judgments in the next life. And also we will observe that really the life we live in this world is temporary. But the life that before God, and a life that's after God's judgment, is eternal. Whether you are in hell or you are in heavens. This is what we see here in this text. Because this man, this rich man, he is in hell and being tormented, and this is his state. But Lazarus is in heaven. Lazarus is being comforted here before God with Abraham. So let us be clear about this. And so let us see also to see the comparisons. So this man being buried and this other man being carried. This one man is in torments. This guy is being comforted. And we see also that this man in heaven, the rich man who is in torments, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." So he is trying to repent from hell. And he is crying for mercy. But we see there are a lot of wrong things here with this man in his understanding. So he is unrepentant even in, because there he can't repent in hell. No one can repent in hell. So if you have gone down in hell as arrogant, you will remain there arrogant. And only things that you will receive is the is the judgment of God. Because this man here, he is saying, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip or the end of his finger. This man, the way even he addresses Abraham, he said, send Lazarus. Lazarus, who was just sitting at his gate, he still see Lazarus to be just his servant. You see, and he's demanding that even Lazarus from his comfort place to come and help him. When himself in his comfort place, he didn't move to come to the gate even to give food to Lazarus. See the irony. Jesus is just giving us this picture so that we are not deceived. So we make the right decision in this world. My friends, let us be frank. I have said this few times. Jesus is gracious. When he does this, he is not condemning us, but he is showing us the ways of freedom. How many times we are saying, oh, I was so crushed and I was struggling and so forth. Yeah, we are struggling because actually if we hold fast to the teaching of Christ, we will be free. We will see the hand of the enemy. We will say, back off, Satan. And we will have nothing to do with demons and demonic forces of darkness. We will be able to stand against them. That doesn't mean that we will not suffer, but we will not suffer at the hands of demons and Satan. Few minutes you are encouraged and you are on fire for Christ, and then suddenly you find yourself in the midst of the battles, crushed and defeated. It's just amazing. It shouldn't be like that. I know we will suffer. We will suffer different things. How many of us who are sick? But to physically be sick doesn't mean that you are crushed spiritually. In fact, it doesn't work like that. You can have no money. It doesn't mean that you will not have the joy of the Lord. We can live where there is no revival in this world, and still we will be on fire for Christ. For it's the Lord who gives the increase. But what he wants us to do is to live his word. So we see this man in his arrogance is demanding that Abraham would send Lazarus. Lazarus, who was just hoping even just to feed on what fell from the rich man's table. Now again, this man, he's been looking for the end of Lazarus' finger. When he said the end of his finger, it's like the smallest part, and that is the words, because the English is just like a difficult language. So the translation actually means just the small part of his finger. So what seemed to be like a leftover, you see, just that is how the text is presented to us. Just to show, actually, what this man is receiving. He received a lot, now he's receiving nothing. You see, when this man received, the poor man received nothing, now he's receiving everything. <You see? laughs> So don't be deceived. If you don't have everything, you will have everything on that day. If now what you seem to be like you are feeding on is very little day by day, you will have everything, all things that God would want you to have, you will have. You will feast in heaven. You will have feast in heaven. You will not be thirsty in heaven. There will be rivers of waters in heaven. So now we see that there will be an end to everything, and this is what the text is telling us here. So this man, he was just like talking with Abraham. He said, I'm in torment. Send this man to cool my tongue, for I am in anguish. And so that came twice in verse 24 and verse 25. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime receive your good things, and Lazarus in life in like manner receive bad. Say bad and good. You see, bad and good. and so the things that you think like that are bad here, They earn you good life in heaven because you are content, you are trusting God, and you are not comparing yourself with others, because God will do the comparison himself. You don't have to compare yourself with others and warn others to compare you also with other people, whether you are rich or poor, highly educated or not educated, lived a wonderful life like the rich man, or you have lived a life of misery and pain and difficult life. Really God, in his grace and mercy, he will not look upon us on the basis of what we have earned and how much we have gathered, or how educated we were, or even how beautiful we were, or anything. So God himself, he will judge according to his own wisdom how we have turned really to him. And when we see here, this man in his lifetime, he was longing for nothing. When this man, he was longing for even to be fed. And I think he's saying some spiritual things here. So if you have longing for God, even in our devotion to God, if we long to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, if we long to know him, that itself is enough for God to move and meet us in our needs. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I know this, for godly men and women who have lot of money, in their hearts, deep down there, they long to have encounter with Christ. And that is the way we should be, because we were created only to be worshippers. That is why St. Augustine said that in our hearts they are whole, and that we will find rest nowhere else, only in you, O God. And so let us not be deceived by the outward appearance of things, and also let us not be deceived that things will not be will come to an end, that God will not come and judge. And also let us not be deceived that even the torment will be just for a short time in hell. It's eternal. And also let us be encouraged and comforted that our comfort will last forever in God, in God's sight. So Abraham here, he gave reason to this man why he cannot come. And he said to him, look, you have received good things with no regard to God. This man, when he received bad things, now he's receiving good things. And also beside that, there is, in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, a great chasm, a great divide. You see, so we need to repent in this world. When it is finished here, so there is no work anymore. There's no, things will not change. Everything is fixed. Those in hell will always be in hell, and those in heaven will be in heaven. And you cannot do that. God has fixed the divide, and also you know that you cannot repent that time, and also even you cannot lose your salvation. So need to know that, because even those with Abraham cannot go to the other side, or even cannot go there, I mean. So let us move on to see the character of those encountering judgment in the next life. We see that there is very proud. I've mentioned that. So this man, he was just addressing Abraham, Lazarus, in a bad way. So this is the pride of man. Also, we see in verse 29 to 31, because, and this is really very important, Jesus was driving us to that part from all these things. You know, this man is like trying now to beg Abraham to do something new. When God himself has given us the way for salvation, the way to escape the judgment. And so that what God has given us is sufficient to bring us to the right place. So he was trying to argue that Abraham should send Lazarus to his brothers. When he was refused to be helped. And then he said, okay, if things have been fixed, so send someone from here, like Lazarus, to warn my brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have Moses and prophets. They have the scriptures. God really revealed the way out to to security, way to salvation, way to union with Him, way to heaven. And yet we think that these scriptures are not sufficient. The scriptures are sufficient for us to come to repentance and to come to heaven. So this is what is the Bible is saying. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, look, the prophets, they have proclaimed salvation in the past. Moses himself, he proclaimed it. And he led the people from Egypt, demonstrating that God is God who saves. And it's written to us that God has all parted, has opened the Red Sea. And that was the work of redemption. God was saying that I'm God who redeems. Even if I'm delivering you now from your enemies. Actually, I'm going to deliver you from your ultimate enemy, Satan. And I'm going to give you eternal life. So, and also we need to read also even back in Genesis. We were promised that the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ will die on the cross of Calvary so that we will have salvation. So the scriptures is sufficient. And Jesus is saying, let them hear them. That is imperative. Let them hear them. And Jesus is saying, hear the words. Listen to the truth. I'm saying to you, what did Jesus say? I am the way and the life and the truth. I am the light of the world. If anyone believes in me, will not walk in darkness. This is the scriptures. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Everything is before us here. Repent of your sins. You will be forgiven. You are weak and heavy laden. Come to me and I will give you rest. This is sufficient. Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And the apostles also in the letters, they have shown us the way. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you come to Jesus, you will not be condemned. You will have your sins forgiven. So God is shouting at us, telling us, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live on your for yourself in this world. Come out from it, because the end of this is disastrous. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and have regards for on how you live. Regards for him and regards for the people around you. And I think that is the problem the church is facing today. We have been we lost the respect of the communities. The community were looking to us, because how many testimonies we have heard of people saying, why nobody told me before? You see, they say that. You see, so it's happened. So now, even during this pandemic, we are so busy storing wealth when we can reach out. So we are the rich man dressed in purple, feasting on choice every day. And we think that God will not see that. God sees that. And he is warning us today. He's calling us. Jesus is calling us that. Especially those who have come to faith. Let us not be deceived by the world dictating how we should live our lives. Let us go on living as people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, who have a view of God and are going to land in heaven with Abraham, the father of faith. Let us not be ruled by the things of this world, and instead to exploit everything that we have here for the glory of God and for the deliverance of others. That is the ways of the Lord. And Jesus says, let them hear them. Let hear the gospel. That is the command for us today. Let us just hold fast to the truth. Let us listen to the prophets. And you know that Paul says this. Build your life on the foundation of apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstone. You see, the Old Testament, the New Testament is the one book for us to train us in godliness, to train us to be effective people of God in this world. and to know his blessings, even his comfort here, and more to come in heaven. Let them hear them. Hear the prophets. Hear the word of God. This is what Jesus is driving us to. And he said, no, Father Abraham. This is not enough. He wants quick fix here. And also, actually, it's like he's acting against Lazarus. You see, he envied Lazarus and he wanted Lazarus to move from the place of comfort to go to his brothers. You see, so this is what we see. No, Abraham, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets. Because the salvation is not in the person, the messenger. It is with the word of God. The salvation is what is in what God says. It's not people. Even the pastors, even the preachers, they are not. The power lies with God and is his word. If we cannot take his word, we can never be saved and delivered. If we cannot receive his spirit. But this man is insisting that Lazarus to go. But God, Jesus is saying, no, what I'm giving is sufficient. The scriptures is sufficient to bring you to salvation. Neither will they be convinced, because that is if people destined to hell, no matter what you say to them, they will not be convinced. But if the Lord convinces them, so they will be in faith. They will come to faith. So let us not be deceived. Let me just wrap it up to say that let us not be deceived by the outward appearance of things. And to think that a person who is wealthy, that is indicative of where he's going to go, he's going to heaven. Obviously, he has made good choices. We see that he didn't listen to the scriptures. He didn't listen to God. And also, let us see that. So this life we live in, it's temporarily. It's not going to go forever. The judgment must come. And we are going to be found out for sure. And we see that also, that the judgment is fair, because God gives opportunities for us to make the right choices, to escape judgment. For God is not a cruel God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He doesn't want the people to go to hell, but to come to salvation and to know his blessings. And so let us hear the word of the life. Let us not love money more than God in this life, so that we will be free of judgment. The only thing that we will receive is comfort, because we have not lived for ourselves, but we have lived for him who died and rose again for us. So as you go to work, don't be deceived by the friends who are living luxury in luxury, by telling you all sorts of things and the holidays, appointments they had, and that car they drive, expensive, and then the house that is built by the best building company, or the best university, the higher qualification. So all these things are deceptive. Or even like a cookbook that is being brought from USA or from Asia, and a cookbook that was once used for the royal family, or things like that. Let us not be deceived by all these things. Or just like the most expensive clothes, you see. So if you can afford that and your heart is for the Lord, I'm not against that. But like this man, if it's that is the only thing that they have, let us be encouraged. Don't be deceived by the outward appearance of things. And you have the most important things, is that you have the voice of God, to listen only to the voice of God. And I must say this, to qualify this, we also listen to people more than God. So test things. Let us be discerning. When people speak to you, is it really from God? Test things. Because what will matter later on, who did you hear? Who, to whom you were listening? So you spend more time listening to God than listening to people and their views. For the salvation lies with what God says. That is why Abraham insisted that the revelation of God is sufficient for salvation. Amen.